Reading sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to the Andy Pin Show.
The smooth talk of the town.
Cool. We are back on the Andy Pin Show, and I want to talk a little bit about oil and gas. So the Washington Post started a series this weekend on the current energy situation and why this global pressure on oil and gas prices is different than the ones in the past. And I just want to make a couple comments about it. It's a series that will run all week. The first one today talks about the market squeeze, that world supplies are stagnating and demand is accelerating, particularly from developing companies. I'm sorry, that was yesterday. Today they talked about demand and how many cars are being put on the road in China every year. It's just unbelievable. And then they're going to talk about supply tomorrow. So it's an interesting series. And it's one of the things I love about the Washington Post. You know, I was together with friends earlier this summer, friends from New Jersey, where I used to live. And they made some comment while we were talking about how they think the New York Star Ledger is a better newspaper than the Washington Post. Now, I like the Star Ledger. It used to be my newspaper. When I lived in New Jersey, two different times, I got the New York Star Ledger on my doorstep for more than 10 years. And it was the right size paper. I used to get the New York Times at home, and I found I didn't get through it all. And I felt guilty about it. So the New York Star Ledger was just about enough. The New York Star Ledger's a better paper than the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, where I used to live. I like it better than the papers I found in St. Louis. I even like it better than the L.A. Times. But I certainly like it better than the paper in my hometown of Rochester, New York, the Democrat and Chronicle, and in a lot of cities I've been in. But it doesn't compare to the Washington Post, and I told my friends that. And one of the reasons I said it doesn't compare is the Washington Post is one of only several news organizations that do serious reporting. They spend a lot of money on reporting. And if you listen to, I didn't really realize this till I moved to the Washington area, but for those of you who are regular NPR listeners and intelligent people listen to my show, so chances are you also listen to some NPR. It's only conservatives and Republicans who refuse to listen to NPR. And not all, of course. A lot of Republicans listen to NPR. But I didn't realize till I moved here how much NPR uses the Washington Post stories to dictate its morning coverage. I'll be sitting there reading the Washington Post in the morning, listening to NPR, and they're covering some story that I just finished reading about in the Post that morning. They take their cue from the print media a lot of times, and primarily the Washington Post. Some AP, some New York Times, of course. Now, having said that, this series is quite detailed, and that's what I love about the Post and what separates it from a paper like the New York Star Ledger. So, and they go into an issue of why gas costs more than $4 a gallon right now and how it's gone up in price. They've compared the top oil producers with the top oil consumers. And basically what it comes down to is we produce about 7 million barrels a day of oil, and we consume over 20 billion, almost 21 billion. So it's about 3 to 1. So we currently import, we have to import, therefore, at least 2/3 of our oil. And since we export some of our oil, like from the West Coast, it might go to Japan, or from Alaska, it might go to Japan, we therefore import more to the East Coast. So actually, they say we import almost 75%. But the bottom line is, in terms of net loss, we use 21 million barrels a day, and we drill for 7 million a day. Sorry, million each time. So we're 14 million a day short. Now, the Republicans and McCain are out there saying, hey, you can get energy independent. All we have to do is drill in the continental shelf, both East Coast, West Coast, drill in Anwar, go for oil shale, tap that energy wherever it is, and we will get out of this mess. No, it's not really possible for us to triple our production of oil by all accounts that I've read, right? That's an illusion that we will get energy independence. Now, when we develop some other technology, we may get energy independent. But that's going to be pretty tough. I mean, it's a few years down the road. So the Republican side of things in the McCain camp says we need to drill our way out of this problem. Here's the problem with that. We've also got one other inconvenient fact we're dealing with, and that is global warming. Now, again, it's convenient that on the Republican slash conservative side, there's been a concerted effort among I'll call it a relatively small group of experts, but a relatively large group of voters have been convinced that global warming is not real. It's a hoax, in the words of James Inhofe, senator from Kaka Land. It is a fiction. It's been foisted on us by, I don't know, scientists, I guess, for some reason, would want to mislead us. And when you listen to the Rush Limbaugh-style views, which tend to be paranoid, people like Limbaugh tell their audiences that what's going on is liberals and Democrats and environmentalists want to control you. And so if they can convince you that you're ruining the planet, then they can control your behavior. It's really I've said many times before that 20%ers are conspiracy theorists, and so he's a conspiracy theorist. He doesn't understand the nature of science, doesn't understand that the science on this is independent of what politicians do with it. That having been said, the Republicans want to drill their way out of this, and they're going to put pressure on this year, particularly leading up to the presidential election, for offshore drilling, maybe even drilling in Anwar, although John McCain is still against that. Now, I'd be okay with some additional drilling. I just want people, particularly Republicans and conservatives, to meet me halfway here. I want the far right to get over it and agree that conservation makes sense, and I want the far left to agree that some additional drilling makes sense. But both sides hold out for their position and not the other sides. I think we could have a responsible policy if we required both sides to compromise some. In fact, drilling our way out of this is the slowest way to go. The quickest way is conservation. Of course, raising the price of gas to $4 a gallon is going to provide some conservation. But we could do more if we had leadership that promoted conservation the way Carter did, and we had more incentives for conservation. For example, I can remember back in the 80s, I put a lot of insulation in three different houses I owned in the 80s and 90s because there was a program that gave me a tax rebate. If I spent a certain amount on insulation, I got a certain amount rebated off my taxes. And so I insulated two homes or three homes that I owned over the years to take advantage of those tax breaks. And that reduced the energy consumption in the house. They could do that kind of thing again. Of course, people are investing in wind and solar and all of that stuff. But one of the things that's always bothered me is the view. I don't want to say it's a general American view. It's more likely to come from Republicans and conservatives. And that is that, hey, listen, buddy, this is America, and don't tell me there are limits to my lifestyle. I can do whatever I want because I've got the money. And if I want to spend, $100 a week on gas, and if I want to drive around just to drive around, I'm free to do that because this is America, and you can't stop me. No, it's not that we want to stop you. It's that at some point in life, you have to become responsible. Okay, my mother taught me to turn out the light when I wasn't going to be in the room. Right? Not to waste water. People say, we got all kinds of water. It comes out of the tap and it never ends, so why should I worry about it? Because it's a responsible thing to do. We're going to come to huge water shortages in this country before too long. Not so much where I live here in Virginia, because the water table is pretty good here, but in the Southwest, where we're putting millions of people in desert areas and air conditioning them and giving them water, there's a limit to how much of that we can support. But anyway, back to oil and gas. I want to see some compromise on both sides, but so far the far right's attitude is we just want to drill more, and of course that ignores the consequences as they come up vis-a-vis global warming. And then liberals don't want to drill, don't want to produce more oil or gas or nuclear in general. They would go with conservation or wind and solar and this stuff that'll help marginally but won't solve the problem. So, and John McCain wants to give a $300 million prize for a $300 million prize for whoever invents battery technology that gives you the ability to drive your car. And I forget what his criteria are, actually. But basically, he wants a $300 million prize for somebody who creates a battery that'll run a car. Well, I got to tell you how silly that is. Because it doesn't make sense to have one $300 million prize. Why not have $1 billion to invest in new technologies? Why not start research grants? A dozen $10 million research grants to start with at a dozen different universities to get after this hydrogen cells or whatever it is we think experts think will be the best, most likely technology to pay off in the fewest amount of years. And go at it that way. I just don't quite understand that $300 million prize. But beyond that, we just need to compromise. We need medicinal drilling and we need additional conservation. The other piece of this is how it plays in the politics. McCain has come out now in favor of offshore drilling, and so he will continue to use that. And of course, the business folks have joined him. The reports were in the press just over the weekend that McCain has received, just since he announced he was now for offshore drilling, just since he reversed his position on that, he's received more than $1 million in campaign contributions from the oil and gas industry. So we will see where this all goes, but I can bet that the Republicans are going to try and beat up the Democrats with this issue over the next few months. And my hope for any kind of a compromise is probably, I'm probably dreaming, but we can hope. Look at all the angry people. Look at all the angry people. Richard B. Cheney swears that Pat lay in public like so much hot air. Insists he and Bush care, waits for the weapons, still thinks Iraq was a threat to the U.S. homeland. I can't understand all the Bush appointees. Where do they all come from? All the angry people, where do they all belong? Rabbit and Coulter, writing the words to a book that reflects a strange fear. Who would come near? Look at her whining, blaming opponents and damning up dubious foes. Is it for show? All the right-wing parrots, where do they all come from? All the angry people, where do they all belong? Look at all the angry people. Look at all the angry people. Ambassador Bolton hates the UN, but now he is a part of it all. He's got some gall, push the divider.
denominates Dragon Jones. There's no change in his tone. And he's not alone. All the angry people, where do they all come from? All the angry people, where do they all belong?
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and I am here talking about Michael Savage in this segment. So, you may remember last week we talked about Michael Savage's comments on autism. Now, Michael Savage is a PhD, and he prides himself on his knowledge of medicine and all this stuff, but he was over the line a couple of weeks ago, and I always like to show you how out of their minds some of these right-wing talk show hosts are. And so he got out there and said that autism was a fraud, a racket, and that in 99% of the cases, it's a brat who hadn't been told to cut the act out. So he's basically saying that 99% of the cases of autism that are diagnosed out there are fake, phony, fraud, however you want to put it. Now, he got raked over the coals for this by any number of people, but the watchdog sites are the ones that caught him and posted it on the web, and then it goes from there. So Media Matters is the liberal watchdog site that listens to these conservative shows. And one of the things that grates on people, if you do a radio talk show and you're not reasonable, if you have good ratings like a Rush Limbaugh, a Sean Hannity, a Michael Savage, chances are, or Bill O'Reilly, you are out there saying some pretty wild stuff. You know, Rush Limbaugh gets going, Michael Savage gets going, and they can't help themselves. They know that it's red meat for the base, and so they are over the top with their accusations. And there's some of it on the left. I used to hear Randy Rhodes say this. She got thrown off of Air America for some comment she made. I've even forgotten what it was. But I heard her on C-SPAN, of all places, bringing up a ridiculous conspiracy theory about Laura Bush leaving George W. Bush because he'd had an affair. Well, this is while they were in the White House. She moved out to a hotel for a few nights. I mean, there's just no evidence for this stuff. It's a conspiracy theory. Okay? There's one website, and that's what she was citing. It's ridiculous. And Michael Savage, who fancies himself an expert on just about everything, if he could run the world, then boy, would things be running okay. But, you know, he's tired of pointing this out to you people. If you don't get it, you know, what can he do? He's only one poor radio voice. He's got such a persecution complex, it's amazing. So when Media Matters posts his words, he says they were taken out of context. Well, if you've never been out there, go to MediaMatters.com and look at some of their items. It is true, they only monitor the conservatives, and they only find fault with people that either are biased towards conservatives, don't give liberals or Democrats a fair shake, or they say things that are untrue or out of line from a liberal or Democratic point of view. But they never call Savage a liar or anything. What they do is they say things like, Bill O'Reilly falsely suggested, right? If they catch somebody saying an untruth, they are civil about it. And they always put people in context. What they have is a transcript, and they go back several minutes, usually a couple of minutes before the person's comment and a couple of minutes after. They always provide the context. They provide the transcript, and then either the audio or video, depending on what it is there on their site as well. So you can evaluate the whole thing, and then they have an analysis of it. That's how they do every item. And yet Bill O'Reilly has been calling them vile and disgusting and demagogues, and that they take everything out of context, and so has Savage. Well, no. What they do is they take your own words and put them in black and white, and your own words don't look so good when you put them in black and white if you're one of these polemical talk show hosts that revs up the crowd with this red meat kind of content that says, you know, oh, Obama can't be trusted, he's a liar, he went to Iraq and he lied, and he He's a, you know, whatever they say about him, right? So that stuff, when put in black and white, doesn't look so good. And even though they quote him, these people at length, they all accuse Media Matters of, quote, taking them out of context. Well, here's Michael Savage with his, actually, I think the first one is not Savage saying he was, yeah, it is. This is the one where he says he was taken out of context.
It is the Savage Nation. The autism controversy is very important because true autism is extremely heartbreaking. I have devoted my entire life, even as a child, to defending the helpless, mainly the helpless children, because of a tragedy in my own family. And
So I do understand he had a brother who died tragically in a hospital, never spoke a word, whatever. He tells the story later, and we're not going to go into it all. But this idea that he has devoted his whole life to children, that's not the impression you get when you listen to his show. If it's children that he doesn't care for, or the children of people he doesn't care for, I don't hear much regard for the chillin' from Michael Savage. And, of course, he says that those of you that go out to Media Matters and read this stuff, you know, you're getting it out of context. You should listen to my show. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but I do listen to Michael Savage's show. I heard this cut and the autism cut that I played for you last Monday night. I heard it live on the radio. That's why I grabbed it and played it on my show. I listen to Michael Savage, I'd say, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes a week at least. That's about all I can take. Let's let Michael continue in his own words.
It's ironic that people who hate families and children, a group called Media Matters, filled with anti-family individuals who do not marry, they're men who like men.
So there he is, in a really sophisticated argument, saying these Media Matters guys, they're gay. You know, they're just so gay. What? I mean, this guy's got a PhD, and that's the level of argument? Now, I don't know if somebody over there at Media Matters, like I forget who the guy, the head of it was a former Clinton appointee. Maybe he's single, and maybe he's a well-known gay. I don't know. And I don't care because I don't focus on those kinds of things. It doesn't really matter. But this idea that he challenges them and claims that the people over there are gay, like they're all gay? Wow. You talk about 20%ers having conspiracy theories. This is borders on paranoia. But it's also just a childish attack. Here he continues.
Would take out of context comments that I made last week directed at the misdiagnosed, the falsely diagnosed, and the outright fakers in the autism field, and try to make you, the parents of the truly autistic, attack me.
Well, that's Savage saying he was taken out of context. Let's go back and listen to his original comment.
Now you want me to tell you my opinion on autism, since I'm not talking about autism? A fraud. A racket. For a long while, we were hearing that every minority child had asthma. Why did they suddenly? Why was there an asthma epidemic amongst minority children? Because I'll tell you why. The children got extra welfare if they were disabled, and they got extra help in school. It was a money racket. Everyone went in and was told, when the nurse looks at you, you go, I don't know, the dust got me. So everyone had asthma from the minority community. That was number one. Now the illness du jour is autism. You know what autism is? I'll tell you what autism is in 99% of the cases. It's a brat who hasn't been told to cut the act out. That's what autism is. What do you mean they scream and they're silent? They don't have a father around to tell them, don't act like a moron, you'll get nowhere in life. Stop acting like a putz. Straighten up, act like a man. Don't sit there crying and screaming, idiot.
So we don't have to play the rest of the clip because he wasn't taken out of context. Here's why the right-wing talk show hosts get in trouble when their words are written down and reflected back in print. They liked over-the-top arguments. So he could make a rational argument, and that's what he's trying to claim now that he was trying to do. His network, syndicator, Talk Radio Network, put up a website that claims he was taken out of view, out of context, and purports to provide the true context for his views. It's called SavageOnAutism.com. And if you go there, there are 20 audio clips that they've put up that are, quote, audio clips of Michael Savage's comments on autism. And they describe it as a representative samplings of Dr. Savage's views, as well as the applicable issues in true context. Well, it turns out that all 20 of those audio clips are from shows he did last week after the original remarks on July 16th got him in trouble. They're not context, like they didn't happen ahead of time to show you he had a long history of being reasonable about autism. No, afterwards, when he got caught with his over-the-top rhetoric, he went back and explained more carefully what he did. But see, the problem with being a 20%er, having your audience be full of 20%ers and being a right-wing talk show host, you don't get high ratings if you come out and say, let me explain this issue to you. There is a percentage of people who, and a percentage of doctors who, diagnose children incorrectly because it's to their advantage to diagnose them incorrectly. And while a lot of these folks are diagnosed correctly and we should have sympathy for them, there's a percentage that aren't. And he doesn't know what percentage it was. But on his radio show, he said it's 99% of the diagnoses of autism. Well, that got people up in arms because there's plenty of conservatives that have autistic children. And it's heartbreaking because there's not much you can do. I shouldn't say there's not much you can do for them. You can do a lot for them. But you feel helpless as a parent when a child has a disability like this because they may never, most likely will never be, quote, normal. That is, they're always going to need some special handling. And he looks pretty callous when he says that all you got to do is tell them there are putts and grow up and don't cry, be a man about it. No, that's not how it works. So there's quite a bit of ignorance there as well. But the 20 clips that they put on the air, I mean on the website, were all post-dated. He said them by way of explanation after he was in hot water. So do I believe that Michael Savage can talk intelligently about autism? Yeah, he probably can. He cares about the issue, obviously. But when right-wing talk show hosts go over the top, this is what happens to them. And I'll give you one more example, and that is Bill O'Reilly. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Bill O. and his latest rant about the Netroots conference that just took place in Austin, Texas, and the fact that they are as evil, more evil than Nazis and the Klan, and that Al Gore going there meant that he too is evil. It's pretty funny, folks. Hang in there. The Andy Finn Show will be right back.